Aloha.
Aloha!
Welcome to Calvary Kaneohe. Why don't you have a seat? Next week, Pastor J.D. will be back. Next week, Pastor J.D. will be back. Please continue to pray for the hedge of protection over him and his family, and especially for Kelly, his wife. We have two services on Sundays, 8:30 and 10:45. Our 8:30 prophecy update will resume next week as Pastor D.D. is back. In our 10:45 service, we're going through the New Testament, and he will be in the book of Revelation next week. We have our midweek study on Thursdays at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary, and we're in the book of Daniel, an exciting book. I encourage you to come out on Thursdays. We come together as a church for all church prayer on the first Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m., again here in the sanctuary. This morning, I'll be in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. I've titled today's message simply, Worship and Prayer. I want to start in the book of John, chapter 15, first, verse 5. But before we do, let's bow our heads in prayer and ask God to bless his word. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, you teach us and lead us and guide us. It's your love letter. It's your instruction book to us for life, Lord. Many of us never knew it before. We surrendered our hearts to you. But Lord, when we did, Lord, you opened the eyes of our hearts to see and hear that which you just wanted to teach us. So Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for your word. We never forget that your word teaches us that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him, Jesus the Christ, will not perish but have everlasting life. And we're always thankful and grateful. And so, Lord, we never forget. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 5 reads, Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And in the same chapter, starting with verse 10, When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you these things to fill you with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other the same way that I have loved you. And there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus laid his life down for us, his friends. We can stay connected to our Lord, the vine, through prayer. He's the conduit, he's the channel to the Father and to himself. And he loves it when he hears from us, his kids. Our Lord wants us to be a people of prayer. Calvary Kaneohe has always placed a high priority on prayer. And in these last days, as things wax worse in this world, prayer is crucial in the life of a believer and in the life of a church. Evil is rampant in our culture, and it's gravitating towards the demonic. We see it all around us. And so prayer is essential in this battle against the enemy. You know, we receive daily emails online from prayer requests from all over the world. We have people who are on the front lines praying for each prayer request. I know that in my life, I've come to see the victory that comes from an intimate time with the Lord. My wife, Jeannie, she's a prayer warrior, and she's received so many blessings and favor from the Lord because of her time with the Lord. God loves to hear from us. Keep in touch with him, whether it's a short, maybe a quick prayer, or maybe it's a lengthy request. Talk to him. John tells us in his epistle of 1 John chapter 5, starting with verse 13. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. You know, as believers, we know that heaven will be our eternal home. It's a promise from God. We also know that as we are in Christ, connected to the vine and walking in love, he'll answer our prayers according to his will. He knows what's best for us. So he provides for us that which we need of. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5 tells us, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. In verse 4, God gives us the desire of our hearts. Not our heart's desires, but he does give us the desires of our hearts. He won't give us, again, that which will hurt us. As our relationship with the Lord grows, we start to notice more and more of God's favor in our lives. We don't always get what we want, but the Lord provides what we need. I picked up a guitar after I got saved 24 years ago, and the Lord taught me how to play. I sensed that God was planning this for my life, but I didn't know if it would ever come to pass. After 2 years of practicing by myself, a door of opportunity opened and I became a worship leader. While I waited on the Lord, I committed to serve him where he had me. At that time, I was helping Pastor JD open a church, make coffee, and unclog toilet bowls. I never asked him to consider me as a worship leader, because God had already put it on his heart. One day, Pastor JD came and asked me if I would pray about leading worship at church. I served in that capacity for 16 years until the Lord called me to be an assistant pastor. Being a pastor was never something that I had desired or expected. It's not in my notes, but I stand up here, my knees are shaking as I'm trying to teach you God's word. I thought about it, being a pastor, in my 24 years serving the Lord. But I always thought I was unqualified. Looking back, I realized that my seminary experience, including reading his word daily, studying under Pastor Dady's teaching, and serving the Lord right where I was at. More importantly, I will never forget, as I've mentioned before, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 5, before I was born, God knew me and had set me apart for this calling as a pastor. It was his plan for my life before I was even formed in my mother's womb. So many times we become discouraged and frustrated because God isn't answering our prayers the way we want. Sometimes in our impatience, we move ahead of God and we suffer the consequences. Sometimes we give up on our prayer only to have it answered later. We gave up because God took too long. But we grow to understand that God's delays are not necessarily his denials. It takes patience and humility to wait on the Lord for what he wills to do in our lives. We also learn that God's timing is perfect and that he has our best interests at heart. I want you to be encouraged. God hears your prayers. Commit to the Lord where he has you in this moment. And that prayer and that desire will come to pass in his timing, not ours. As a new believer in Christ 24 years ago, I thought worship was singing praise and worship songs before service. But worship as a believer in Christ is really an attitude of the heart towards God. We worship God for who he is, the creator and sustainer of everything that is. We should be grateful for his provision and blessing as his kids. his kids who will never beg for bread. We worship him and humble ourselves because we know that he detests haughtiness, that attitude of superiority. We know that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We know that God loves it when we trust him and that we're sold out for him. We trust him even in times of adversity, when things are going wrong in our lives. He taught us not to worry or be anxious. He loves it when we worship him by giving our best in our serving and our calling that he's placed in our lives. Worship is thanking him for his love, his grace, and his mercy and his forgiveness, especially being grateful for salvation. God loves it when we talk to him in the morning and thank him at night, thanking him for the changed life that is so blessed now. We know that he has our best interest at heart and that he's working everything out for our good. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, one of my favorites. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. God searches and looks for people who have an attitude and heart for himself, that attitude and heart to worship and seek him. As parents, we love it when our kids come and talk with us. We love it when our kids come when they're in need. So too, God loves for us to worship him by seeking him in prayer for anything that we have need of. In Psalms chapter 50, verses 9 to 12, God reminds us of what we already know. He created and he owns everything that is. Verse 9 tells us, I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine, and all that is in it. You know, my mind can't fathom that number when I think of how many animals there are, how many insects there are in this world. But God is an owner of everything, and he knows each one intimately. I'm talking about the ants. He wants to bless us by providing for us his kids. God wants to be strong on our behalf. Living in this falling world is not a welcoming place for Christians. We need his strength to be able to navigate our time here on earth. But God looks for loyal hearts that truly lift him up in worship and adoration of himself. Hearts that are trustworthy, devoted, steadfast, dedicated, and faithful. For God is faithful to us as he grants us the promises that he makes to us described in his word, our Bibles. He is God and he's worthy of the love and praise and our worship. God loves when we worship him through song. And yes, God loves it when you sing to him. As a former worship leader, I want to encourage you to sing. Sing during times of worship. I remember the first time I stepped into a Calvary chapel and I heard worship for the first time. It was a week after I got saved. I was a new creation in Christ and the old me had passed away. I was a babe in the Lord. I knew nothing about God. I knew nothing about the Bible. But when I heard the music and saw the lyrics, I couldn't help but burst out in tears. The songs were new to me, but the message of the songs really touched my heart, so I would sing. Again, this was my first day in church. Then again, I heard the message. Again, I would sob. Everything that I had wanted in my life before my salvation was coming to pass. Was coming true for me. I was an alcoholic and I not only wanted a change, I needed one. As I mentioned before, it's been 24 years now since that I've been sober. Again, I remember that moment at Calvary Chapel for the first time as if it were yesterday. I still have that desire to worship him and still sing to him. When we sing, we're expressing our adoration and love for Jesus. We sing as a fellowship in the body of Christ on Thursdays and Sundays before the message. We sing to worship and glorify and lift him up. We lift up the name of Jesus. We sing as God is preparing our hearts to receive his message. One of the first songs I sang as a worship leader was Father of Lights. I'm looking to see if Judy was here. She was with me. The chorus goes something like this. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. If every good and perfect gift comes from God, and we know it, why wouldn't we want to sing and praise him? Amen? Like worship, prayer can be done anytime, anywhere, any place. When I was teaching the youth, I used to tell the kids that I always sang in my truck on the way to work. Then as I'm driving, I would close my eyes and pray. At first, they gave me that shocked look, but then they realized I was just kidding. But some of my best times of worship have been while I was driving. Many times as I'm rolling down the road, I'm thinking of God, and I would just sing. I know you guys do the same thing, you online as well. Then suddenly I would just break out in tears. The tears would come because I would remember where I was 24 years ago. I love to hear the body of Christ singing in church as Kapono is leading worship of Jesus. I know you're singing online as well, and so don't stop. I know the Lord loves it when you sing, when we all sing. I realize that some people don't like to sing for whatever reason. Maybe you're just shy and you're singing within yourself. I pray that you would just let go and join us anyway, for he is worthy to be praised. Let's look at our passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 1 tells us, it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. So there's this large army coming against the people of God. They intend to make war and take the land of Judah that God gave his people, the Israelites, the Jews. The Ammonites and the Moabites were descendants of Lot. Lot was the nephew of Abraham, and Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation. Jehoshaphat is the king of this Jewish nation of Israel. Throughout Israel's history, the Ammonites and the Moabites constantly troubled the Jews. They were a constant threat, an eternal enemy of God's people. The Israelites and these armies come against them were related, they're distant cousins. Lot's descendants are coming to attempt to take and conquer this land, a promised land that was given to Abraham for his descendants to dwell in. Abraham's descendants to whom the promised seed, Jesus the Christ, would come. Verse 2 says that they're coming from Syria. Today, we see the buildup of Russians and Iranians in Syria. We see it all over the news. Israel is fighting a war on two fronts. So too, here in this passage in 2 Chronicles, the staging ground is Syria. Syria is a staging ground for what Pastor J.D. has taught, the prophecy of Ezekiel 38. Nations all around are planning to invade Israel. We already know what the outcome will be. So too, Christians are surrounded by the enemy all around us. The demons sent by Satan continually upset and disturb our lives. The enemy is always attacking. As we journey through this chapter, my hope and prayer is that you would be encouraged by the events in King Jehoshaphat's life and experience. Trouble was all around, but God, as he always is, was in their midst. in verses 3 and 4, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord." Jehoshaphat's first reaction to the bad news was fear. He was afraid. But in his fear, he does the right thing. He calls out to God. First, he gets alone with God and he seeks him in prayer. Then he calls for the entire nation to join him in prayer and fasting. King Jehoshaphat was afraid. So too, we become fearful when extreme trials come our way. The Bible reveals to us that the frailties and weaknesses of those we think that are pillars in the scriptures. King David comes to mind. Let us, like us, be also worried when difficulties came their way. That should encourage us, because we see and read how many times God gave his kids victory in the Bible. Victory in the face of adversity, intense adversity. In my life, God has given me the victory in so many trials. You would think that when another trial came up, I wouldn't be anxious or alarmed, but still, I fear. Verse 4 in today's study tells us that people from all cities of Judah came to seek the Lord in prayer. What a powerful testimony of a leader sold out for God. And as a result, the people followed his lead. Jehoshaphat's father was King Asa. Asa was a godly king, and he brought back godly reforms to his father, King Abijah, had forsaken. It was good to see the nation of Israel turning back to God. Israel had been turning away to idolatry. It hurts my heart to see what's happening in this country, the USA. I do know that we're close to the rapture. I know that prophetically these things must come to pass. The Bible calls it apostasy, as people are falling away from God. I remember in elementary school, daily reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. How many of you guys remember that? And how God was included in our daily recital. Today, as I look around our country, the common thread I see is disobedience and rebellion, especially against God. Today, most of this country is trying to remove Jesus out of our society. But here's King Jehoshaphat, who worships the true and living God. And he led his nation to revere and to honor God. In this time of distress, the king calls for a national prayer meeting and a fast. I know that many of you here in the sanctuary and online are dealing with something in your life that you're worried about and that you're in fear of. We know what God's word tells us, but yet we fear. We see it in the book of Philippians. Chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 tells us, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Years ago, I found out that I had stage 3 kidney disease. Panic and fear set in. Not knowing about the disease, I thought I had maybe 3 months to live. I have since learned to manage it, and God has blessed me with a Jewish kidney doctor, a nephrologist named Noah Solomon. When I found out that this doctor's name is Noah Solomon, I was saying, "Thank you, Lord." I test regularly, and every time I go, it's still remaining at stage 3. Unless you get a transplant, there's no healing for kidney disease. It stays with you for life, but so does God. Not only for this life, but eternal life. Whatever you and I go through in this life, I know that God can bring healing. We know that he can supernaturally heal us. But maybe he'll choose to use doctors, which he anointed. And he gave the gift of healing. Maybe God will choose not to heal us. Let us remember and thank him that we are spiritually healed, that we are born again by the Spirit of God, that you are rapture ready and we are heaven bound. The Bible tells us that there is no more pain and suffering in heaven. God may take us home instead, so we avoid the pains of this world. I know that he will take care of our loved ones here on earth while we're there with him in heaven. So as we go through our present suffering here on earth, we have this blessed hope. This blessed hope is not only an assurance from God, but a promise from God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 6 tells us, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation. And we have this priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while." You know, this place called earth is not our home. The time spent here is but a vapor to God. Compared to eternity, our trials last for only a moment. But I know that doesn't help you who are suffering. And I'm sorry for the hurt and pain that you're going through, you're experiencing. I know many of you here today and online are going through a rough time. If you need prayer after service today, we would be blessed to be able to anoint you with oil and pray for you. For you online, if you're attending a church, ask your pastors or elders to anoint you with oil and pray for you. The biblical precedent for this practice is in James chapter 5. For you online, if you're not attending a church, email us and we'll have our prayer warriors pray for you. But be encouraged, saints, in the trials that you're going through and the suffering that you're experiencing. We are almost home. In verses 5 and 6 of our study, "Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, O God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Verse 7, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save." Jehoshaphat worships God in front of his nation by exalting and praising him. He reminded God of his love for the Israelites and how he has delivered the Israelites in the past. As king, he's asking God to save his nation again. In verse 7, Jehoshaphat reminds the Lord of something that God never forgot. That because of the extreme wickedness and evil of the people that inhabited Canaan, God removed them and gave this land to Abraham's descendants. In their place, God would set in place his chosen people, the nation of Israel. The people and nation God used to bring his word, the Bible, into the world. Through them, the Messiah, Christ the Savior of the world, was born. His mother Mary a young, godly Jewish mother. Jehoshaphat is standing in this beautiful edifice. The temple in Jerusalem was built by King Solomon. Jehoshaphat stands in a temple at the top of his voice, petitions the Lord. Today, because of Jesus' sacrifice, not only is salvation made possible by faith, we don't need to be in a temple or in a church for God to hear our prayers. You no longer need to go to a priest to have your sins removed or your prayers heard. You would now have direct access to God by talking directly to Him. We can pray anytime, any place, and He would hear us. While Jesus was on the cross, at His last breath, the curtain separating the Holy of Holies from the temple was torn. This veil or curtain was 60 feet high and 4 inches thick. It was made of blue, purple, and scarlet material and fine linen. It would be impossible for any man to tear this curtain. God tore this curtain in half from top to bottom when Jesus breathed His last breath on the cross. The meaning and symbolism behind this is that mankind could now have direct access to God. You no longer needed to go to a temple or a priest to communicate. You could communicate with the true and living God. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20 tells us, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By His death, Jesus opened a new life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. We can have direct access to God's throne. We can talk directly to God." Verse 10 and 11 in our study reads, "And now, hear the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit." In the book of Numbers, chapter 20, verse 14 to 21, the Israelites wanted to take shortcut to Edom to get to the promised land. They had just left Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and were on a journey to the promised land. The king of Edom would not let them pass through his land. Moses said that they would even pay for water that they needed. The king of Edom refused water to his cousins. The Edomites were cousins to the Jews, yet they would not let them through or even sell them water. In anger, the Israelites wanted to invade the land, but God said no. We know that God would provide water through a rock and manna for their food. Now these same people who denied the Israelites' passage through their land, they're coming to invade Judah to overthrow King Jehoshaphat and take their land. They had no fear of God, and their attitude showed it. They wanted their land back, the land that God had removed them from. It's the same for us as God's people. God gives us victory in our lives, but the enemy ramps up the pressure with temptations and trials. The enemy wants to reclaim territory that he lost to Jesus. The devil wants to reclaim the lives of believers who have left the world, the flesh, and the devil. Verse 12 and 13 tells us, "O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on you. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord." Jehoshaphat humbly admitted to God who he loved and who he worshiped. that he had, that he and his nation were not strong enough. The enemy was, had this numerical advantage, and that Israel could be destroyed. But I know who you are, Lord, and by faith, I am looking to and trusting that you will rescue us, King Jehoshaphat would say. You have a history of coming to Israel's history, and we are looking to you again. We don't know what to do, but you are God, and we are your people. We're relying on you to do what we know you can do. So with our eyes focused on you, we come to plead for your protection and favor. Zechariah in chapter 2, verse 8 tells us that anyone who attacks or comes against Israel is coming against the apple of God's eye. They're coming against God's most prized possession, and they're in trouble. Maybe you're going through a challenging time in your life, and it's too heavy a burden for you. Give it to God. Look to Him. Confess that you don't know what to do. As a Christian believer, you're also God's most prized possession. He loves you. He even moved Him to give His Son for you, His only begotten Son, Jesus. We tend to lose sight of the fact that God loves us and cares about us. Don't forget to look to Him in your time of adversity. Remember how much the Creator of the universe loves you. God knows, God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Don't forget that you are His chosen possession, and He has great, great plans for your life. Pray and humble yourselves before the Creator of all things. Worship Him, and yes, even sing to Him. Then sit back and watch God work, because He wants to fight for you. He's wanting to stand, He's waiting on standby. So don't hesitate. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and wait for the victory. In verse 13, the nation of Israel is standing before God. We remember Jacob brought his entire family out to display them before his brother Esau. Jacob wanted to appease Esau for the wrong he had done to him. God, as He always does, gave him favor in his brother's eyes, and Esau accepted him without incident. So too, Jehoshaphat displayed the whole nation before God. Though God already knew what He was going to do, He loved seeing His people united in worship and prayer. In verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. Jehaziel, like his ancestor Asaph, was a Levite. Asaph was also a worship leader under King David. He wrote many of the Psalms in the book of Psalms. One of my favorites is Psalm 73 that Asaph wrote. They were priests who oversaw many of the duties in the temple. One of the duties was leading worship in song through musical instruments. I love this verse because God spoke and answered King Jehoshaphat's plea through a young man, a young Levite. God's Holy Spirit spoke through this priest, who is also a worship leader. I am blessed to see young people in church. I love to see the younger generation worshiping the Lord, because I came to the Lord when I was an old man, 45 years old. And so I'm still young at heart. You know, you would think that God would speak directly to Jehoshaphat. But maybe like Asaph, Jehaziel was really sold out for God, and God knew his heart. The Bible doesn't say why, but Jehaziel, was the vessel that God spoke through. Boldly and confidently, Jehaziel speaks what God wants him to say. And he said, "Listen, all of you in Judah, And you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Aziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. What an encouraging word from God. This young Levite starts prophesying, and I'm sure King Jehoshaphat is astonished. But at the same moment, the king is encouraged because God spoke to this young man. He said, do not be afraid. This battle is not yours. God says, I will fight for you. There were those who may have doubted the word from Jehaziel. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 to 22 tells us, but any prophet who falsely claims to speak in my name or who speaks in the name of another God must die. But you may wonder, how will we know whether or not prophecy is from the Lord? If the prophet speaks the Lord's name, but his prediction does not happen or come true, you will know that the Lord did not give this message. That prophet has spoken without my authority and need not be feared. So Jehaziel boldly proclaimed that he was speaking for God. Jehaziel knows the scriptures, that he could be put to death for falsely speaking for God. But he was a Levite and he knows God's word. He knows that if what he's saying doesn't happen, he could lose his life. He's taking an enormous chance, but he can't help it. The Holy Spirit is speaking through him. He had to speak. Keep quiet and fear and disobey the Holy Spirit, or speak up and stand back and watch God work. If God calls you to speak, don't say no. You know, I love sharing the gospel with people. It's a blessing when they say yes and they want to be saved. You know, but I'm ashamed to say there have been times when I had an opportunity to speak, but I didn't open my mouth. I pray that we will always step out in faith and speak when God calls us to speak, especially when it comes to sharing the good news. In verse 17 and 19, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel, with voices loud and high. Verse 20, so they rose early in the morning and went out in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you will prosper. Verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord. Let me read that again. He appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. And as they went out before the army, and we're saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 21 is huge. King Jehoshaphat appoints the worship team and singers to lead the army into battle. Through songs of worship, they would give praise, adoration, and worship God before the battle. It's a spiritual battleground they're fighting. It's a spiritual battle that you can't see, but it's real. We need to acknowledge and praise God before any battle. As Kapono leads us in worship, we're asking God to battle the enemy before us through song as we prepare to hear the teaching of God's word. The enemy wants to distract us so we don't hear what God wants to teach us. In verse 22, now when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. You know, everything we do here at Calvary Kaneohe is biblical, meaning that if it's not in the Bible, we don't do it or we don't teach it. We sing and we worship the Lord at the beginning of service to thank and praise the Lord, to prepare our hearts to hear what he's going to teach us. That's why Kapona and David sing songs of praise before the pastor's teachings. Then pastors always pray and ask God to bless our time in his word, to help us learn his heart and his instructions to us. We're asking God to fight the enemy for us through song, prayer, and the teaching of his word. Verse 23 and 24 tells us, for the people of Ammon, Moab, and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. You know, enemies from different tribes, they had joined together to defeat King Jehoshaphat. Instead, God had turned them on each other. They completely destroyed each other. There was no one left. In verse 25 tells us, so Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them great amounts of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days to collect it. The Bible doesn't say how God calls the enemies to fight against each other. Maybe it was an age-old grudge between tribes that erupted on the day of the battle. What the scripture does say is that God's people continued praying, fasting, and singing, and God gave them the victory. The Israelite army never had to lift the sword. They never had to lift a shield, nor a spear. The Israelites obeyed the word from Jehaziel, and they were given the victory. God went out like he promised, and he did fight for them. You know, obedience always brings blessings in our walk with the Lord. Perhaps God is speaking to you or something that he desires for you to step out in faith in. Maybe it's a sin that we're hanging on to, that we're not letting go of. Verse 24 through 25 tells us that the enemy lay strewn all over the valley, that the people of God gathered all the spoil their dead enemies left behind. There was so much, it took them 3 days to gather up all this spoil. My prayer for you is that you would seek the Lord through prayer daily, that you would worship the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, and with all your strength, and that you would also gather the spoils and the blessings from the Lord. Finally, in verse 26, and on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Barak, for they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Barak until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. They worshiped and they thanked God at the battleground, and then they went to Jerusalem and they thanked the Lord there. The first thing they did was worship and thank the Lord through song in the Lord's house, in the temple. That's why Kapono always ends our teaching with song. We're giving glory, honor, and praise to Him who it belongs. If you're not saved here in the sanctuary, maybe you're online, talk to Jesus. Ask Him to come in and to save you. He loves you very much. So with that, let's stand in prayer and ask Kapono to thank the Lord for this victory. Father, we come before Your throne to thank You, Lord, that we can worship You, that we can go directly to You, Lord, and pray and seek Your face and ask of and petition Your throne for everything or anything that we have need of. Lord, we love You so very much. And we never forget the cross. I mentioned it before service and after because, again, Lord, we never forget that Jesus, You are God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity. We're so grateful and thankful, Lord. We love You so very much. We thank You that You had us in Your mind when You created the heavens and earth. Bless our day. Watch over us. Give us traveling mercies as we go home, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.